Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sirius XM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
What up, what up, what up, everyone? This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, 10-year NFL defensive lineman, Lijay Doosbull, and you know I got my squad with me. 15 years covering the Miami Dolphins as one of the best beat writers, also a really great NFL columnist, Omar Kelly, and the man that literally knows everyone, 2014 All-Pro defensive back Adam Pac-Man Jones. How my guys doing on this good Friday?
See, Pac-Man know everybody because he run the streets with everybody, right?
Is that true, Pac?
Hold on.
Pac muted?
I said, Omar, don't get mad at me because you didn't grow up in Bankhead Projects in Atlanta, Georgia.
Get mad at me.
We had two different paths. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I grew up in Projects in Carroll City. You know Carroll City.
But it's a difference between when you're on the block and you're off the block. You get what I'm saying?
Okay. I can understand.
I was on the block. You know what I mean? I did my due diligence of meeting and greeting everybody. And God blessed me with a certain talent to introduce me to a lot of people. In the world, you know what I'm saying? So I was blessed to do that.
Like that's the connections part.
I love it.
You make things happen. You connect people. That's what we love about you, Pac.
Omar, you know a lot of people too, though.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, but I ain't friendly. I'm working on my friendship skills. That's what I'm working on.
You got to be a little friendly, man.
Damn, y'all
mean you're not friendly. Hold on.
Wait.
Before we start the show, what do you explain that? Tell me the definition I'm not friendly.
I'm much like you. I need to see.
Friendly. Hold on. Everybody loves
you. You friendly, but you be checking people before you be checking out people before you like get them the approval. Now, don't act like you don't.
Yeah, I do, but I'm friendly. Now you get one chance though. You either do
let
it right
know.
Or you do it wrong. You know what I mean? But I am the most open person. I don't even think I'm a celebrity. Like that's my biggest problem. Probably with me because I'm quick to, hey, how you doing? How was your day? Da 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 da. My wife always tell me, like, hey, bro, you been way too friendly.
Tell them, Pac, you just trying to catch their vibe and see what they're about.
Tell you, don't ask me that.
I've always been like that, man. I had a lady, Mrs. Sobleski, bless her soul. She passed away from skin cancer. Mm. The only white lady in my whole school. At Westlake High School, adopted me. I stayed with her my whole 10th and 11th grade year. I was in little small classes at first, too, for behavior disorder. And she told me, she was like, yo, you can't go to college in those classes if you're going to keep acting up. And she opened my eyes to being friendly, you know what I mean? Because I used to walk around with a shell, you know what I mean? Keep my guard down because of the product that I grew up in.
But
when I met her, It changed my whole life. It showed me, first of all, everybody is the same. Treat people how you want to be treated, no matter what color, no matter what race it is. And she was the glue to the puzzle at Westlake High School. She changed a lot of kids' life. But me personally, Mr. Bleska, I love you. Let's go, boss. Let's get it going.
Man, great story to start the show off. But let's go ahead and jump into this show. Carl Anthony Towns says it's championship or bust for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Is he right? We discussed that. Najee Harris said he needs to get 500 goddamn touches and that he doesn't care how many carries he gets during the season. Is 500 touches realistic? We'll talk about that. An eight-time NBA All-Star and the best dunker in NBA history, Vince Carter, stops by I Am Athlete tonight to discuss his new podcast, The Vince Carter Show. I'm really looking forward to that interview. But first, Jimmy Garoppolo, could he be headed to Miami? Now, a lot of people think this could be a surprise landing spot for Jimmy Garoppolo, but let's put this into perspective. I know my guy Omar Kelly won't agree with me, but who did the Miami Dolphins just hire? Mike McDaniel. Where did he come from? San Francisco, where he was the offensive coordinator and where he's really comfortable with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, one unidentified NFL personnel executive told Heavy.com that a trade to Miami was more than possible. This is his quote. He said, Jimmy G is way more liked in league circles as a player than Tua is. He's accomplished way more, and that matters at that position almost more than anything else. And remember, Mike McDaniel knows Jimmy really well. With a new head coach, all he cares about is winning and winning now. He could be looking at Tua, shaking his head and saying, I don't know. Maybe he loves him, but if he hasn't seen enough from him during workouts or OTAs, this is his honeymoon phase with that ownership and front office. Make the deal now. I'm going to throw it to my teammate, Omar Kelly, who has been covering the Miami Dolphins for over 15 years. Should the Miami Dolphins go all in and bring in Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think they definitely have an interest. I think that it's something that they will explore probably next year when Jimmy G is free, for free, and you could just go out and you've seen what Tua is as a with all this weaponry, with an improved offensive line. You know, everybody is down on Tua, especially people in the NFL circles and the league, because, you know, that's the popular thing to do. But keep in mind, this is a young quarterback who has a 13-8 record in 2 years with no offensive line, no running game, no wide receivers, and a coach who really didn't like him. How do you get to 13-8? You know, there's only one other quarterback, and that's Mac Jones. Yeah, I mean, the defense is part, but Tua was a pretty good game manager. He had some moments where he was clutch in the fourth quarter and gave the team leads, and the defense lost the lead, like an Atlanta loss, like in Jacksonville loss. So he's been clutch in terms of putting the team in position to have a lead or rallying the team late. The one thing you don't know is he have the arm to be an NFL quarterback? And I really can't answer that right now. And can he facilitate this West Coast play action?
Man, come on with the bullshit.
All right, go ahead and get him, Pac.
Tell me, Pac.
All right, so you're saying he don't have the arm. All right, well, we know Jimmy don't have the arm. We already been there, done that, and tried that. He had every weapon that he can have, a great running game, and one of the best defenses in the NFL. If you can't win with that, what can you win?
But Jimmy did win, Pat.
He took a team to the Super Bowl and was in the NFC
Championship game last year. Yeah.
Did they win it?
No.
They didn't win. Only one team wins it every year, Pat.
Did San Francisco draft another quarterback and say we're going a different way?
They definitely did that.
They did that? Right. Yeah. Okay.
That's my point. Tua is young, but for 2 years, it's not bad. He got, we'll just say 5,000 yards. He right at 27 touchdowns. He have thrown 15 interceptions, which is about seven interceptions a year. That's the bad part about it. But the overall rating, he's been good. He's been 90%, 87%, 88%.
Yeah, but as a cornerback, you know what you do? You do, Pac? You would jump his balls.
If you ask me who I'd rather play with or play against, as long as he ain't over there and Shanahan, I'd rather play against Jimmy.
You rather play against Jimmy than Tua?
Yes.
Why? I don't know about all that.
Jimmy cannot throw the deep ball at all, bro.
Neither can Tua.
Tua can move. He can run. He's better on the Tua is better on the run. We got to worry about him running out the pocket, double moves, and all this. We don't have to worry about with this guy. He's oh, is it there? No, is it not? No deep ball. Check down.
He had a 8.7 passer rating last year. Jimmy Garoppolo. Yes, he's not going to make those clutch throws.
Yeah, because of the offense. Look at the throws that he had. How many throws did he have over 15 yards?
How many did Tua have?
I bet you had more than Gina.
I bet it's probably close or equal.
I bet you it's close, but you still got to realize, bro, Tua only been in the league 2 years.
You're right. I give you this is what I would say, right? Because, you know, I follow both of these guys really closely. I played.
Who would you take? I don't want to hear all the political stuff.
I'm taking Jimmy. I'm going to let you know right now. I'm taking Jimmy. God. Well, you talked about Tua's record, right? Jimmy's record is 33-14 in the league. So if you want to put that out there. Yeah. But
all
this
the 14
this is
this games Jimmy lost.
You funny. This is what I would tell you right here, Pac. Right, these guys are almost mirror images. Right, they are very accurate between the hash marks. Right, in the
Tua
middle of the field,
can run the ball way better than Jimmy. Though,
yeah, but he's not really a running quarterback.
He's not a running quarterback.
He's not a running quarterback. This is what I would say. Right, we've seen it from Jimmy more than we've seen it for Tua. Granted, Tua's only played 2 years. The injury factor is big for both of these quarterbacks. Both Absolutely. Of these quarterbacks seem like they can't stay healthy, right? That is the biggest issue. I mean, there's not many quarterbacks in the league we can say went to the NFC Championship 2 out of the last 3 years. Jimmy Garoppolo has done that when he's healthy. Now,
look
granted,
at all the weapons he had. Tell me what weapons Tua had in Miami. Name
what
him.
You mean?
The
what weapons
pocket.
He had?
Mike Gesicki.
One.
Yeah, Mike Gesicki.
Man, he's right. Okay.
Really?
But I mean, both of these teams are predicated off of their defenses. Let's just be honest.
What I'm saying is Jimmy had way more weapons his whole career. This kid haven't. He ain't got no. What Hall of Famer he play with? What number one receiver that you can say, hey, this kid is dumb at it that played with my in the last 2 years?
No, but that's what I'm saying. But Debo was the last year he was the number one
Debo
receiver.
Debo is dumb at it.
But he dominated 1 year. That was it, Pat.
Just it's different with the coordinator, bro. Come on, like.
But that's what I'm saying. So now he's got Mike.
In the world.
He's got Mike McDaniel now. Who came from San Fran.
We'll see. We'll see.
What I'm saying is what San Francisco got over there as far as coaching with Shanahan and them is way different.
But I'll give you that.
Stop acting like it's the same comparison between Shanahan and the new coach. It's no.
I had this discussion yesterday with Brandon and Auntie. I said Kyle Shanahan is one of the brightest offensive gurus in this league, right? I put him right there with Andy Reid and also Sean
him
McVay.
And Andy Reid. I know you put him right there.
Sean McVay. I put them all
Sean
together.
McVay, all three of them.
Yeah, 100%. So I get what you're saying, Pac. 100%. I'm not going to disagree with you on that. To me,
man,
Kyle Shanahan.
I didn't mean to cut you off. If you put Tua, let's just say we can reverse time and put Tua in the situation that Jimmy G was in, it'll be a whole different conversation right now.
Well, but that's the thing. That's what we're going to –
coordinator and all the tools and all the key players that he had around him.
Yeah. But this is what I would say right now, right? I'm like Omar. I think Tua deserves this year, right? Because now he's going to be in that same system, that Shanahan system with Mike McDaniel. They got him a true dog at number one. Tyreek Hill, right? Jalen Waddle. They also got Gesicki, who's a nice tight end. They've tried to beef up the offensive line. Terod Armstead. Connor Williams inside from the Dallas Cowboys. So they've tried to do everything possible so they can really truly evaluate Tua Tagovailoa this year. I think Omar's point, he's been saying this since Tua got drafted. He circled this year as the year to really evaluate Tua. He said his third year would be the year. So honestly, I don't see Miami trading for him right now. Now, say something happens where Tua gets hurt or he doesn't start the year off, you know, particularly well.
I could see them down the stretch potentially maybe
trading for a Jimmy Garoppolo just because he's comfortable in the system. He's comfortable with the head coach. Again, he knows the system and he's a proven winner, right? So honestly, I think, you know, Miami is dead set on seeing what Tua can do this year. And until he proves that he can't do it, then I think they're going to stick with Tua. And then Jimmy Garoppolo could be an option down the road. I just think it makes sense for both teams, especially if Tua doesn't get it together. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lee J. Duzible, with my squad, Omar Kelly and Adam Pac-Man Jones. We were just talking about could Jimmy Garoppolo potentially be traded to the Miami Dolphins, and we push it forward to Madden. Now, the final batch of positional ratings of Madden NFL 23 just released, and it's none other than the quarterback position. Now, there are some interesting ratings on this quarterback position. I'm going to name them from top down. Right now, Tom Brady is the top quarterback at a 97 overall. Aaron Rodgers, 96. Patrick Mahomes is 95. Josh Allen, 92. Joe Burrow, 90. Dak Prescott, 89. Justin Herbert, 88, which should be higher. Russell Wilson, 87. Lamar Jackson, 87. Matthew Stafford, 85. Kyler Murray, 84. Deshaun Watson, 84. Derek Carr, 83. And Ryan Tannehill at 83. To me, there's a rating on here that's questionable, right? Which one of these ratings stands out to me the most? There's a few ratings I didn't name. They have Carson Wentz at a 73. Just to put this into perspective, quarterbacks ahead of Carson Wentz. Justin Fields at 74. Tua Tagovailoa at 75. Jalen Hurts at a 74. Teddy Bridgewater at a 75. Trevor Lawrence, the rookie,
76.
Who had a rough year in Jacksonville, 76. Christ. And Jameis Winston, 76. Jimmy Garoppolo is 77. Baker Mayfield, 77. And Mac Jones is a 78.
So, man,
I'm not the biggest Carson Wentz fan. I'm not the hugest Carson Wentz fan. But to have that man at a 73, with the likes of Justin Fields and Zach Wilson, who I love, who was a rookie quarterback, and Jared Goff, is just downright damn disrespectful. At least a 76, 77. You got guys like Tua, who only played 2 years, has been beat up the first couple of years. Justin Fields, who really struggled, like the Chicago Bears didn't do him any justice last year without any help. And they got him ranked higher. Jameis Winston, who I think was playing really well, a high level, was 5-2 before he got hurt, but missed most of the season last year. And they got him at a 76.
Wasn't Carson
Jones 1 year, and they got him at a 78. So I'm like,
Carson Wentz like one game away from taking his team to the playoffs.
Exactly. They lost that last game versus Jacksonville and didn't get into the playoffs. Meanwhile, the Chicago Bears, I think only won 4 or 5 games, right?
Yeah.
Pack, who on this list stands out to you the most? I know you said you had a disagreement in the beginning of the top like 2 or 3 guys.
I don't think Tom Brady is the number one quarterback in the NFL.
Who's your number one guy?
Aaron Rodgers.
I can't disagree with that. Back-to-back MVP. Tom Brady did lead the league in passing last year.
Hold on, let me tell you how I think it should go. I think Aaron Rodgers is number one. I think Patrick Mahomes is number two. I think the kid from Cincinnati, Burroughs, is number three. Tom Brady, number four. I would go Deshaun Watson, 5. Derek Carr, 6. Lamar, 7. Russell Wilson, 8. And then you can go pick him on from there.
Dang. So you don't got Justin Herbert up there?
No, I don't have Justin.
That man has thrown for more yards than any quarterback in NFL history in the first 2 years.
And ain't winning. So I understand what you're saying.
It wasn't his fault last year.
That's what you're saying, but it's all about winning.
But yeah, but you saw what happened. Come on, Pat. You saw it. This coach was too aggressive.
He's in my top 10, but he's definitely not in my top 5, 8 quarterbacks, bro.
I got him up there. What do you think about this list? What stands out to you, Omar?
A couple of standouts. I do agree with Pac-Man. Tom Brady being number one is kind of a show of respect, but
100%.
I don't think it's accurate. In fact, I have a quarterback rankings out that's been out probably for a month now. I've got Patrick Mahomes number one, just Josh Allen number two, Aaron Rodgers.
Damn, I forgot two. Josh Allen.
Yeah. Tom Brady, number four. And I think Matthew Stafford on this list is way too low. I mean, at 85 for Matthew Stafford.
An 87, 88.
I think he should be. Yeah, I think he's 88. I mean, he just came off a championship run. And let's not act like he didn't have clutch moments.
Down the stretch, man. He was surgical.
Man, that coordinator is surgical.
I don't want to get no players no respect, man.
No, I do, bro. I do give players respect, but you can't go and tell me that he just played a phenomenal. He made every play hit. Like he wasn't that exceptional during the playoffs. Like they kept saying it was his elbow. He wasn't even throwing the ball good because they were like, "Oh, he's hurt. It's his elbow. Something wrong with him."
They would have lost.
He can't throw the deep ball.
They would.
I mean, they'd have lost the Super Bowl. Wasn't for him.
They would have lost in the first.
Man, they would have lost the Super Bowl. It went for the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, I give you that, AP. Aaron Donald.
What are you talking about, man? Are y'all watching the same game that I'm
just
watching?
But you keep forgetting they were down.
I don't care. If you take Aaron Donald off the field, it's not even a game, bro. What is I give
you
talking
that.
About?
I give you that. But they still had to make plays.
Tell me that this guy won the game. Oh my
Matthew
God!
Matthew Stafford beat Tom Brady single handed. in that second round playoff game.
Man, Tom Brady didn't even have 250 passing yards. That's what I'm saying. Are we?
No, I think he did in that game. They had to come from behind. Remember, Pat?
Yeah, Matthew Stafford.
Fact check. What's the fact check?
Drove the team down the field. Drove the Rams down the field. In the fourth quarter,
and Cooper Kupp ended up being
Cooper Kupp caught the post. I remember. Yeah, him. But I'm asking him, what was the facts check about the yardage?
He's talking about Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. We gotta give him a couple minutes. Listen, some of my other concerns. I think Mac Jones being rated as that's
kind of high.
As high as
Jones shouldn't even be up there.
Yeah, I agree with you. He shouldn't be up there.
You think Mac Jones should be up there?
No, I said he shouldn't be up there.
Yeah, he made the Pro Bowl. That's why.
Think Mac Jones a top 15 quarterback?
Nah, man, hell no.
Not even close. I'm not even sure. I'm Matt Ryan.
I like Matt Ryan, but Ryan Tannehill, I think that number's high. 83.
Oh, that's fair.
Hell yeah, it's real high.
I think that's high. Like that means you're comparing him to Derek Carr. To me, Derek Carr is at number 10 or number 11 quarterback in this league.
Deshaun Watson should be way higher than what they got him on.
But they haven't seen him for a full year.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in a year and a half.
Let's talk about what have you done for me lately. The last time he played, he would be at the top five of this list.
He had a four-win team. He had great stats.
It wasn't his fault.
Kirk
Cousins. Come on, bro.
Kirk got numbers. Some people be sleeping on Kirk because he got numbers.
Hella stats.
Kirk.
And?
Kirk.
What you saying?
Kirk ain't got no dog in him. Ooh. He's a good quarterback, but he's just a guy. Yeah. Shit get hard, he going to hit the fan.
Derek Carr got the dog in him?
So
Derek Carr got dog in him.
Who do you think got done dirty on this list, Pat?
I think Derek Carr got done dirty.
Yeah, people be sleeping on Derek Carr. Derek Carr is
a winner too, bro.
Yeah, he is.
Like, just think about this. They fired the whole goddamn staff at the Raiders, and this motherfucker still figured out a way to win the game to go to the playoffs. Nobody talks about that.
I think he had the most fourth quarter comebacks.
He had an interim offensive coach.
Head coach.
No, offensive coordinator too, and head coach. Because what's the name was calling the plays?
Oh, John Gruden. Yeah,
Gruden was calling the plays.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? He took all of that down three games and come back and win. Like, come on, bro. You got to put some respect on his name.
I've been on the Derek Carr wagon for the longest, man. And people just don't seem to respect him. They keep saying he's a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. I'm like, nah. I got him like right at number 10 or 11 in this league.
He's right there, 10 or 11.
Yeah, 10 or 11. And he constantly, like last year, to Adam Pacman's point, right? What quarterback in that situation, how many quarterbacks in this league in that situation would be able to galvanize their team, bring them together, and help lead them to the playoffs? Again, and
basically, he's the offensive coordinator at that point, Bose.
To Adam Pacman's point, right? The coach goes through a scandal because he sent out an email that wasn't flattering, talking about, you know, D. Maurice. And then he ends up getting fired, right, in the middle of the season. So from that point on, you know, Rich Versace.
He told him he had good tire loops.
Yeah. Rich Versace becomes the head coach. He was a special teams coordinator. And to Pac-Man's point, right, you get a whole new offensive coordinator because John Gruden was calling the plays. And yet he still was able to will his team to the playoffs. And his number one weapon on offense, Darren Waller, was hurt most of the year. So he was able to do that without his number one weapon. So to me, I mean, Derek Carr, there needs to be some respect put on his name.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber, the soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT. Savory breakfast burrito or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero.co C-O. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
Welcome back to I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lijay Dusable, with my squad, Adam Pac-Man Jones and Omar Kelly. And before the break, I teased that we're going to talk about the most expensive trios in the NFL when it comes to quarterback, receiver, and running back. But actually, we have a legend getting ready to join the show. Eight-time NBA All-Star. To me, the best dunker in NBA history. Olympic gold medalist. My guy from the crib, Daytona, Florida, Vince Man. Carter.
What's going on? What's going on? How y'all doing?
How you doing, VC? How you doing?
I'm big good,
VC,
man.
Baby. Yeah.
I'm working.
I see that, man. We really, truly appreciate you joining the show. We had Cam Hayward on here yesterday, and he talked about his podcast. You got a new podcast, The Vince Carter Show. Just talk about your show, your podcast, The Vince Carter Show, and what made you get into the podcast game?
Well, let me tell you. So I'll go back. When I was playing for the Hawks, I was actually doing a podcast with Kent Bazemore for a while. So we started that, and it was presented to me then. So I've been involved with it, and it's been a cool segue for me transitioning out of basketball into, you know, the other side, if you would. And you know, it was easy to talk. Well, actually, I was doing it as I was playing, but it was an easy segue. So I did Vince's Places under Omaha Production with Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. And we did all of that. And he asked me, we were filming the segment, which was ended up being the last thing we filmed. And we sit in the car in between takes. He's like, podcast, I want you to do one for me. Mm. Let's do it. Like, it was like, it was just kind of like that. And I was like, all right, cool. I mean, Peyton Manning, you know, Peyton is Peyton. And so, and he was like, yeah, we're starting this and I would love to have you on the team to do it. And at the time, I retired and I stopped doing the podcast with the Hawks. So I was like in between podcasts right now and just figuring out what to do because ESPN was thinking about it, but we weren't sure. This comes around and here I am.
Nice. Now, I want to ask you this. We here on I Am Athlete, we consider ourselves part of new media. Do you understand, believe, buy into new media? And do you think that there's a difference when athletes are the ones asking other athletes the questions?
It definitely is a difference because you get a different answer. You get different energy. You'll get never told. I could tell the story about a different story and give you more information. I mean, it's just different. And sometimes it's not anything personal. It's just how it is. Like I'm talking to another athlete, or now when I'm interviewing an athlete, or I see somebody ask that same question, our answers tend to be different. I get a different answer because, you know, we can relate, you know, and like I said, it ain't nothing personal, but you have an appreciation for that guy, that athlete, that former athlete interviewing on the side. A part of the new media, I mean, I guess I'm a part of the new media because I'm new into the game.
You are a part of the new media.
Right, because I'm in the game, but, you know, I want to call it fair. I want to protect the athlete and or player. And I feel like that's a part of the new media. And Jamal Crawford threw true media out there. He's a part of the true media, meaning we just call it like we see it. You know, I know that guy over there, Mr. Pac-Man. I know how you know, you call it like you see it. But I consider you a part of true media. You call it how you see it. And you're just trying to, you know, educate the listeners on what it really is, what we really see. And sometimes we as athletes, we get defensive about what is said to us. But you have an appreciation for another athlete calling like we see it, as opposed to a non-athlete. Sometimes we call it, and that's when you know how that goes.
Hey, B, I've been a big fan since day one, man. You just don't even know. I was one of those guys that got everything taken away from me, and got everything back. You know what I mean? So I enjoyed the roller coaster. I was like, I want to play long as V playing. You know, if V can play this many years, I can play this many years, but
right.
With all that said, you had a great interview with the Laker coach. the Lakers' new coach, Coach Ham.
Darvin Ham, yeah.
Yeah. What was your biggest takeaway from the interview of the conversation overall with him?
The biggest takeaway for me is that he set the tone from the door. Like, yes, he had the support of all the players, but he wasn't afraid to speak out on behalf of players. But at the same time, say, hey, Russ got to do his part too. He gonna have to buy in and do it. And he set the tone from the door. So as a player, what can you say when, you know, there again, that's a, here's a guy being upfront the first day. Cause you know, every time you get to, you know how it is back. Yeah. Every time we get to a team, what's the first thing we say? We gonna win championships and we gonna do it like this. We gonna do it like that. And it's the honeymoon stage. But the real deal is when we get to training camp. Then the real deal is when we get to preseason. And the real deal is when we get to regular season, because sometimes it don't work out like we perceived it to be during the honeymoon stage, right?
Yeah. Some of them don't even stay healthy.
Some don't even stay healthy.
You know what I mean?
That's my point.
We have off and on weeks. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's got a big thing to do with it.
And that's what I'm saying. So he's being straightforward. It wasn't about like, oh, we're going to win championships. Nah, he's like, we getting back to the basics. You know, it was no disrespect to Frank Vogel, but he's like, nah, we're going to defend. I'm going to make Russ this. Don't make Russ that. I'm going to hold him accountable. That set the tone. It wasn't no, yeah, man, we about to win championships because I'm here. It wasn't none of that. It wasn't none of that. You know, I like that because it's like now it's no excuse. Now if you can hold these dudes accountable, those three guys accountable at the top, bro, nobody else can say nothing. Ain't nothing nobody else can say. Yeah.
This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lee J. Doosable, with my squad, Adam Pac-Man Jones and Omar Kelly. And we're talking to the great Vince Carter, 8-time NBA All-Star. VC, like I told you before, I'm from the crib as well, from Tampa, Florida. You know, in Florida, football is king. Did you ever consider maybe playing football instead of basketball? I mean, obviously,
it
panned out for you. That's right.
I was a quarterback.
Nice.
I played quarterback.
Yeah.
Growing up, I played. I mean, you know, I was.
How tall were you in high school? That's a good question. First, how tall were you in high school?
6'6".
So at my freshman year, I was probably like 5'. I was a point guard, so I was like 5'9"
Come basketball, do all of that, bro.
Watch this. At come basketball season, I was 6'3".
Oh wow.
And then he was playing point all the way up to then.
I started at point guard and then two. And then my senior year, I was 6'5", 6'6". But I still had the point guard skills. I was the tallest guy, but I wasn't the center. You see what I'm saying? So I was. It worked out. It worked out that way. So I was playing quarterback and then everybody started, you know, diving at the knees or whatever. And we played an intramural game. One of the football coaches, I dunked the ball. Eric Williams, I want to say he played for the Jets, defensive back, dunked the ball, ran up under me. I flipped off, fell, broke my wrist.
Oh, wow.
But I still played because they was like, nah, it's all good. It's just, you know, just a little bruise. I go to the hospital that night. They're like, nah, you broke that thing. So after that, the doctor told me I had to make a decision. I wasn't going to be able to play both sports, you know, with all the stuff. So I was like, all right, well, you know, basketball it is. And it worked out. But, man, basketball, football was my thing, man. Like I said, living here in Florida, man, like, that's what you did. Like, you played both. Like, never thought twice about it.
Let me ask you something. I know I'm not the only person that want to ask you this question. When you stuck your hand through that damn ring, how did you come up with that, bro, when you did the elbow thing? Like, was that, like, spur of the moment? Did you do it in practice? Like,
I never did it in practice.
As a kid, you know, like, I was a big basketball player. I was same thing you was, but I got offered by Georgia Tech, NC State, Florida. Like, we won 3 national championships, so I was pretty good. You know what I mean? And I can
pretty, I see you play, bro.
I can get I up there and play. Get busy with the best.
Just so you know.
But how in the hell did you come up with that, man?
So I had done it fooling around at like a couple of charity basketball events, but I was at Gary Payton's event and in the layup line, jumping over the rim, just dropping over, fooling around, and just let it go. That's where it came from. So I got to the dunk contest, and I remember telling Katino Mobley, I walked over because he was at the event in Seattle, and I was like, hey, bro, remember I was in the layup line doing that? I said, I'm going to try to go up there and hang up there. Mm. He said, huh? I said, yeah, I'm going to try to hang. But Pat, I had never, ever tried it in my life.
I was just gonna ask you, this is your first time doing it, too.
First time live.
Shit, she was amazing.
Live. I'm getting chills right now,
remembering
it. Bro, it could have gone one of two ways. And luckily, I ended up on the right side of it. So the funny thing about that, before I left to go to All-Star Weekend, we had our last game. We played. The next day, we're leaving. Our coach, Butch Carter, told T-Mac and I, good luck, and don't break nothing. Because he know, like, we were out there, we were willing to try whatever, do whatever. Yeah. As I, if you go back and look, as I'm standing under the rim, I'm looking, and I'm trying to walk it up because I didn't know, bro, I didn't know which way to go, which how I was going to do, how to do it. So if you go back, you look, I rub my arm. Well, what I said, I was like, man, here goes nothing. Please don't break nothing like Coach Brooks said. That's what I was saying. And I knew it was going to hurt, or I assumed it was going to hurt. Like, bro, I'm jumping up there trying to hold onto a rim. You know, I don't know. That was one and done. I had never rehearsed it. I just wanted to, in my mind, I said, jump as high as you can so you can come down and hold onto the rim, as opposed to jumping at the rim, where if you don't make it, you break your junk off, right? You know what I'm saying? So what I did is I just jumped as high as I could and just held on. And I said, and while I was up there, I had my eyes closed. In my mind, as I'm walking back, I said, what I want to accomplish? So I look at all this stuff differently than everybody else. So I said, what I want to accomplish with this dunk? Because I used to watch dunks. I'm like, what were they trying to accomplish with it? Like, we all watch it. We all see it. But what were they trying to accomplish? What did they want you to see? So what I wanted people to see is that I can jump high.
Use damn
and then get my arm in and hold on. And I didn't want to hear nothing. I wanted it to be silent. And that's what we got. So that's, I was up on the got. Rim. I literally had my eyes closed like this. And I was like. and then I landed. And I walked like, yeah. But really, yeah. I was like, bro, this is crazy. So I'm walking down there and I kept my arm straight. I'm holding my arm straight like, I ain't break it. It ain't numb. So we good. Yeah. We good, right? Okay, watch this. Sunday morning is the All-Star game. Bro, I woke up, my arm was locked like this.
Oh, wow.
Up top and in the bottom was purple.
Purple.
And wow. I couldn't move. I couldn't extend my arm. Just because, like, because I, you know, when you sleep, the blood just lock in. So I had no blood flow yet, and I was stuck. I was like, bro, I ain't gonna be able to play the game. Wow. I mean, I got a trophy, and then I iced it up, and obviously we had shoot around, got moving in my jump, but I had like a line. It was worth it, bro. War room.
Definitely. We're here talking with Vince Carter on I Am Athlete. Vince, this is a question that I've been meaning to ask you my whole life, okay?
Uh-oh. Okay.
You're considered the best dunker of all times. I've seen a video where you break down your top 10 dunks. And I'll give you this. It's NBA dunks. Now, in my lifetime, the Frederick Weiss dunk, I've never seen a human jump over another human to dunk a basketball.
Yeah.
In that moment, did you know what you had done? Did you know was that the intent? And did you know you ended his career?
I had no idea. I had no idea to all of those questions. I didn't know I jumped over him. And I didn't know I ended his career. So I'll tell you the quick story. Y'all got some time, right?
Yeah, we got time.
Okay, bet. So, I mean, it was just an impulse thing. So, you know, when you play on an All-Star game, when you play with the best players, sometimes that ball moving and you don't get all the shots you want to get. So it was kind of a moment like that. Buddy, GP missed the shot, whatever. Buddy got the ball, threw it behind his back. I get the steal. Everybody running back on transition. So I'm like, all right, bet. This is a chance to, you know, go whatever, attack the rim. And I just took one, two dribbles, and I just jumped. That was it. I didn't even look where I jumped. I just jumped. So now I'm getting up in the air. So I would try to replay it for everybody. But I get up here, and I'm leaning like this, right? But I'm looking at the rim, and it seemed like it's over there. Like, I'm like, bro, I'm gonna make a Sprite commercial, because you remember the Sprite commercial was the same. Everybody get hung and fell off. That was the thing. I'm thinking this. I'm like, bro, I ain't gonna make it. So all I remember is when I took the one dribble, two dribble, I see the big fella. And at that time, sidebar, at that time, I wasn't afraid to try anybody. So you gonna block it or you not? You know, it just right. How it was. I never had a fear of, man, he he Dikembe Mutombo, he might block it. He's Zoe. He might. It is what it is. Like, I'm gonna try to win this battle. He's 7'2". Like, I got to get you. You big. Like, you big man. I got to try you. That's just how it is. And it didn't. It no discrimination. It didn't care what you look like. It's what your height look like. So I was trying to attack it. So one dribble, two dribble, and just jump. And all I remember is my forearm hitting him. And I can say now, I remember my forearm hitting his shoulder because I saw it. But I'm just thinking, so in my mind, I'm so worried about the rim and jumping too far. I don't remember. I ain't paying attention to him. And so in my mind, I'm thinking he moved out the way. He tried to take a charge, fell down. I don't know. So I'm focused on the rim. So when I get to the rim, I'm going to back up. When I get to the rim, if you notice, I'm leaning, but in my mind, I'm thinking I'm not going to make it, but I ended up dunking it with my wrist. So that means I got far enough. Mm. But I'm thinking I'm a fingertip dunk it and just like barely make it or get hung. Okay, cool. So that's what the celebration was about. That's what I was celebrating. Yeah. I was celebrating that, bro. I ain't get hung on the Olympic stage with all these right. people watching, and I made the dunk more so because I jumped too damn far, more so than what happened. KG, he's celebrating like this. I'm caught in the moment, so I don't know what's going on. Like, bro, it's your hype man hyping you up on a moment when you dunked it. So I'm like, which what? Let's go defense. Yeah. That was it.
So when did you know you jumped over a human?
After the game. After the game, you not hear me. Okay, so we go through the rest of the game. So after the play happened, whatever, I remember we were on defense. I guess it was a foul, it was a timeout. And I just remember sitting there, bro, in the timeout. And before the coaches come, you know, they gather and we sitting there, you know, we talk, whatever happened, and the coaches walk in. So we sit there and I just remember Steve Smith looking at me like,
you know what you just did?
But that's what I'm saying. They never said that. They just looked at me. So I never had, for 20 years or so,
didn't say nothing about that play, like when you did that?
Nothing. So for 20 years, I've never had the opportunity to ask one of my teammates, how come y'all didn't say nothing? And Steve Smith was the first person. He said, bro, because we still couldn't believe what you just did. So I said, okay, cool. But an entire game?
Right.
After the game, Gary Payton's homeboy, before we walking into the locker room after the game, he had at the new, that's at the time, the new hand, this is how long ago it was, the new handheld cameras, that's when it was a smaller version. He bring it over to me and he shows me on the handheld. That's how I saw it. I watched it 7 times, like, wait, I jumped over him? No, hold on. I jumped over him? He's like, yes, sir, yes. And that's how I found out. So when I get in the locker room, I'm like, bro, what is you on? They're going to drug test you. Because in the Olympics, for those who don't know that, after the game, whether you win or lose, they always pick 2 players to get drug tested afterwards. And I don't know if I want to find out. I don't know if I got drug tested after the game or not. But that was the running joke. Like, bro, you going to get picked today randomly.
Yeah, damn right. Hey, VC, can we ask you 2 more quick questions before we let you up out of here? All right, so you did something in NBA history.
Hey, real quick, before you go there, I gotta answer the last part of this because I think it's important. Okay. So after all of that dunk, a lot of people don't know that Frederick Weiss went through a tough time. He was blackballed out of his country, so he couldn't play ball in France. He had to play ball in Spain. He also got a divorce. Like he had, like when I say a rough time, he tried to kill himself twice.
Damn!
Wow!
Over that dunk.
Over that dunk. His wife left him. Christ. He like the fans felt embarrassed for him. You know, he got drafted by the Knicks, and he never came over to the Knicks, and he ended up getting traded to Houston. He never got a chance to play. And I'm saying that to say, like you just said, over that play. So I couldn't really understand that.
Wow,
it's like it's a basketball play, like bro, right. Ease up, that like happens. You know. But he tried to kill himself twice, bro, over that play, and he's doing better. And he's now a part of media, and he's back in his home country in France.
Have you had a chance to talk to him? Yes.
Nope.
Have you had the chance to talk to him for your podcast?
I haven't. Yeah, no, you're right. But no, heck, I haven't. I've never had a chance to. Like, wow. I'm just hurt by way of some
deep
other
right
guy.
There, bro. Like, that's
right, that's what I'm saying.
That's really deep. And
so I had a meeting. The way I found out is a meeting was like, yeah, when's the last time you talked to Frederick Weiss? I was like, not never, bro. Like, when we met, and then, the last time I talked to him is in the gold medal game. I tried to jump over him again. Everybody
listen.
Hey,
new time is a charm, baby.
Let's see.
I love it.
What's
I
good,
love
baby? It. Yes, sir. I said, let's see what happens. And guess what he did? He pushed me out the air into the first row, into the cameras. I'm laying there like, I understand, brother. I understand. Yeah. It was all good. I would do that to me too. So that was the last real conversation we had. And then he's like, you know, and that's what I was told what happened to him. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Hey, before we wrap it up, Bose.
We got time.
Give me your top five. Your top five dunkers of all time. You number one, not including you. I'm putting you number one. So
I got to name four more?
Yeah, four more. Give me four.
Golly. I'm going to say Dr. J.
Yeah.
MJ.
Yeah, of course.
I'm retired now. I hate naming current players, but I'm going to throw Zach LaVine up there.
That's a good one. That's generous.
And man, that's a tough one. There's a couple of people, you know, there's a couple of people that I could throw in there.
Yeah, one more. Spot.
You gotta give me some names. Like
you're not putting Nick up there?
Dominique don't make it.
Okay, let me rephrase. See, I'm about to get too technical. Are we talking about in-game or dunk contest?
Dunk contest is what I'm saying.
All right, I'll take me.
Take me.
I could take T Mac. I could take Aaron Gordon.
Aaron Gordon, yep.
You know, just to name a few. Gerald Green. I say Gerald Green because I know his potential. He missed a lot of dunks, which, you know, I hate to see. Yeah. You know, but I mean, that dude can fly. Now, we talk in-game, Gerald Green is going to definitely be in-game.
For sure. We got one more for you, VC. Yeah, sure. This question to me, I just want to know what your mental fortitude was because you did something – NBA history had never been done. You played in four different decades. Just talk about your staying power to be able to play that long in the NBA and like what separated you from everybody else to continue to stay on that path to play 22 years.
My willingness to survive. My willingness to do what whatever it takes to stay in the league and to be effective. Cause I could do the bare minimum and still be in the league just off of respect. Like I half the coaches now, some players I play with or against. So some of them would throw your boy a bone and put me on the team. But I was willing to stick to the script. So for me, I had a checklist of 10, 12 things that I had to do or I wouldn't be worth nothing on a basketball court. And I was willing to stick to it. I was willing to do those things. There's a lot of my guys, bro, like I talked to, like, hey, man, you can still play. They're like, man, they don't want to go through it all. I still enjoyed it. I knew I had to work a little harder. I knew I had to put extra work in. I knew I had to get there 2.5 hours before the games to get warmed up, to be ready to play against these guys who were half my age, if not more. Mm. But I still enjoyed it. The thing that I didn't enjoy was the political side, the politics of who cares if I'm 40, 41, 43? What's the difference? What's your eyes telling you? Am I productive? Can I do what needs to be done on the court when you put me in there? Am I helping your team or am I hurting your team? And those are the things that were tough for me because I put the work in like these other dudes. I was out there and I had an advantage. I had already had 10, 12, 15, 20 years on some of these kids.
Yeah.
My bad. I had already had 10, 12, 20 years on some of these young fellas of knowledge. So I knew how to survive. I knew how to be outsmart. I could outsmart some of these kids who were more athletic. You know what I'm saying? At that point, who jump high. But, bro, like when I stepped on the court, we either stayed the course or got better because I was it wasn't an ego thing. I was about playing. I wanted to play, and I wanted to show people at that age, bro. It's just a number. It's just a number. Man. But organizations got caught up in the number.
And they all frustrated. They all do. Yeah, no, that was my reason. You know what I mean? I was playing really good at 35 years old, all pro at 34. But I wasn't willing to go and babysit some younger kids, which I'm gonna say it like this, some younger kids that didn't understand how to be pros, and I still was playing at a high level. That's why I said, all right, I'm done. I had my fun. But same thing.
Pat, it's the exact same thing. And I'll just say this. I was willing to mentor a kid, but at the same time, it wasn't to the mentor a kid, but I can show you better than I can tell you. I can show you while I'm telling you.
Right.
Because sometimes, like today's kids, like they need to see the visual. We can sit here and have a conversation about plays and how to help. But let me go show you real quick. I can show you on the court. They come in and have it. I wouldn't ask it for 20, 25 minutes. I was just like, let me go out there and play the game, be effective, and help my team grow. Because I knew I was on a team that wasn't going to win the championship, but I could still play the game. And if you want me to help these kids, let me show these kids how to play on the court for real.
Right. Yeah. Man, VC, we appreciate you stopping by I Am Absolutely. Athlete tonight. Y'all make My sure pleasure. Y'all check out Vince Carter's podcast, The Vince Carter Show, wherever you listen to your podcast, man. That's 8-time NBA All-Star Vince Carter, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Yes, sir. My pleasure, man. It's always a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM Channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.